Jesus' birth, you've heard the story time and time and time again, right? You know it by heart. You can say, hey, we see the scenes, we've read the story. My grandmother read it to me, my mother read it to me, somebody read it to me. I know it well. Well, you get to hear it again today. Greatest story that's ever been told, Jesus' birth. A lot of things had been happening back when this was written. And I'm going to give you just a very short history lesson. Judah was under the rule of Rome now. And Caesar Augustus was the reigning emperor. Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And Herod was now the king of Judah. The promised land was no longer in the hands of Israel. It was in the hands of a heathen power. The ruler was no longer appointed by God, but was empowered by Rome. People had been wanting a Messiah, somebody to come. They had waited and waited and waited. Prophecy said that the Messiah would come, and Jesus Christ fulfilled that prophecy when he came. His coming into this world was surrounded by all sorts of events, all kinds of them. You say, well, I know the story. We'll read it here in a minute too. But think about the taxation. Why did that just happen for some strange reason? No, God had his hand in it to make sure that prophecy was fulfilled. What about the place Jesus was born, huh? In that little manger, stable, cave, what have you, and laid in a manger and a feeding trough. Was that just part of a good story? Well, yes, it's part of a good story, but there's significance to it. How about angels now really appearing to shepherds, where the religious folks wouldn't even talk to the shepherds? They would snub them because they're the lowest of the low. But yet, the angels went to them first. Then this heavenly host, upon tens of thousands, angels there. Was that just part of a good story? Yes, but it's more to it. The shepherds listening and going to find this baby. Yeah, that's part of that story too. And then here's Mary. Mary, did you know all those things that she pondered, the Bible says, upon her mind for all those months? And then here is this Christ child, named by God himself. Look with me on the screen at Luke 2, 1 through 6. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. You've read it over and over and over, and it's the most wonderful story that I know. So this taxation thing we were talking about earlier had to take place. It was part of God's plan to fulfill the scripture. This birth of the Messiah was going to be at a certain place, just like he had said. It was prophesied that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. And that's exactly what happened. Mary and Joseph in Galilee. Mary was one version, great with child. You like that version? Great with child. Another one, expecting a baby, but she was great with child. Back here is one that can testify, looking at me and not even smiling either. Now she smiled. You ladies that have had babies know what being great with child is all about. So they were going their way. And this taxation happened at the right time, at the right way, to make sure the prophecy was fulfilled. And it forced Joseph to go exactly where the Bible said, to Bethlehem. So they had to return to the city of their birth, as you well know. So it helped fulfill Scripture. Now verse 7 on the screen says, "And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there were no room for them in the inn. Again, you've read it and you've read it and you've read it. But don't just skim over it this season. Remember, this baby was born here, this Christ child, the Messiah. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. We've all been to plays. We've all seen that played out, and we read it, but there's significance to it. Where Jesus was born, a smelly old stable, not in comfortable surroundings, laid in a manger or in a feeding trough. You go put your deer corn in a feeding trough. You go put your feed for your cattle in a feeding trough. And here is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the very Son of God, born and wrapped in some clothes and cloths, and there he was in that feeding trough. Any of you ever cleaned out a stable before? I did that in my younger days. My dad made sure that I helped with that more often than I wanted. He did most of it. I must tell the truth. I'm in church and preaching. But I had enough to get a good smell of that, to clean out the stable. Well, that's where Jesus was born. No room for him in the inn. You know that story, and you've been to many plays and many musicals, and it's been described many ways. But I wonder how many people really miss the blessings of God because they didn't have room, they didn't have time, and certainly that was here in the inn. Jesus was born in poverty. Does that mean anything? Yes, it means something. That Jesus was born in this stable and laid in this manger, and it was in poverty. It was in a smelly stable, that no matter how the societies of the future would be, no matter how people were labeled in a caste system in India, no matter what we say we are in America, the middle class, the low class, the whatever class, it was significant that Jesus Christ came for all people around the whole world. And there he is, so many years ago in that stable. So it has significance. Away from people, not in the nice place that we might think the Son of God would be born. So he entered the world in a place like a stable. No hospital, no comfortable home, none of that, but a smelly old stable. Jesus was born into a corruptible world, full of sin, full of greed, full of selfishness. And we say, we look out in today and we see a lot of that. It's still hanging around, isn't it? He was born into that world. And he came for the very reason he was born to die. And in my mind, in this innkeeper, you know, we've heard the stories many, many different ways, I guess. But there was no room. And the old innkeeper, you know, in a lot of plays, he gets picked on. He represents to me the part of where people dismiss the Savior. No room, no time for Jesus. And he missed a big blessing in my thought pattern anyway. No room for Mary in the inn. No room for him. Well, he missed it. And now I wonder, in a little while, I've heard a lot of older preachers say, in a little while, Jesus is coming again. In a little while. I don't know what a little while is exactly, but Jesus is coming again. And how many people will miss it when he comes the second time? Nobody will really miss it because every eye is going to see when he comes. If he splits the eastern sky today, we will see. I know it's going to be quick. I know it's going to be fast, but yet some way in the wonderfulness of God Almighty, every eye will see. So who will miss it? In one sense, nobody, but many will miss him because they're lost and undone without God. Well, Luke 2:8 through 12 on the screen says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flock at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Here's these shepherds again. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flock at night, and the angel of the Lord appeared to them. The angel appeared to the shepherds. Now again, well, we know that story, but in the eyes of many, no angel would appear to a shepherd if you were living back in those days. Shepherds were seldomly found praising God. They were a roughneck bunch of people who society said they were the low of the low, lowest, and they didn't worship God. Their reputation was not good. The religious people snubbed them and wouldn't talk to them, all because of who they were. And God gave the first message to who? To the common shepherds. They were looked upon as sinners and unclean. And here comes this baby, and here is the angels appearing to the very ones who were, quote, labeled sinners. And that's who the angels talked to first. That's got some significance, because we all were sinners, and we had to come and ask Jesus to forgive us of those sins to be saved. So the common shepherd, he got the message first, the good news. The Messiah's been born. The Savior's been born. So here's this baby, Jesus, God Himself in human flesh, showing up to the poor in a stable where the lowest of low could see Him, and the announcement goes to them, the shepherds, first. The next slide says, suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests. The heavenly host, 10 upon 10 thousands of angels, and here they appear. And what were they doing? They were crying out for glory, the glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom God, on whom His favor rests. Glory to God in the highest. So they were calling out, listen, we are to give God glory. And then they talked about peace to men on whom His favor rests. Peace to men. Why? How can this peace be? Because now the Savior's come. Because now the one who'll stand between God and man, so that God and man can come together and be reconciled, has been born. And through His death, then man can be reconciled back to God and have the peace that God wanted for us the whole time. A Savior has been born. The next slide says, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord's told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and a baby who was lying in a manger. And when they had seen Him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who had heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had to say. They said, okay, let's go, let's see, let's hurry. There's an urgency here. We want to go see, and we're going to go now. Let's get with it, and so to speak. Let's go to Bethlehem and see what's happened here. An urgency to see. I hope there's an urgency in your soul to see Jesus. I hope there's an urgency in our soul this Christmas season that will go beyond all the places we'll go and the parties and the celebrations, but there'll be an urgency in the depths of our soul to say to the Lord in a quiet place before the company gets there, before the party starts, let me see Jesus. Let me see You, Jesus. Let me see, let me experience this peace, and let me see You. This Christmas. So they had this urgency. They found the baby. And then they got on Facebook, every one of them. They got on Facebook and Twitter, and they started texting, and they started saying, hey, we found that baby. It's the truth. It's the truth. And Facebook lit up, and they had 10,000 likes. That's in verse 16. It's not in verse 16. But anyway, if there had been a Facebook back then, that's what had happened, you see. They started telling people. It's a little slower, huh? Yeah, it was a little slower. But they started telling people, sharing this message. And they were the first to see. And they stirred the people up. That got around. And the people got stirred up and heard. And then verse 19. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And Judy made a comment in Sunday school. And then here Lashley sings about Mary. Did you know? You know, I've thought a lot about Joseph and Mary, and we all have our thoughts. And sometimes we go by Scripture, yes, to preach and to get to the facts of the Word, and we got to stick with the Word. But sometimes my mind I sit there and think, just what did Mary go through? What did Joseph go through? And this says that Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in their heart. I hear women talk about when they have babies and stuff and the things they went through and the good and the bad and how they ponder those things. And here is Mary now, carrying the Son of God. Wonder what she did think about. She knew He was the Messiah, knew He was the Son of God. And now here He was, could touch Him, could hold Him, that little baby called Jesus. And I do wonder what she thought. I wonder what she thought when the angel, well, we know some of what she thought because the Bible tells us, said, hey, you've been chosen and you're going to carry Son of God. And she's saying, you know, how can that be? I'm a virgin and that can't be. He said, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. The angel did. And that's how it's going to happen. And it happened just like that. And how young she was and what she must have been thinking. And then here's all the rumors, you know. And their community, well, you know Mary down there and she's not married. Here she is carrying this baby and on and on. And how, I don't know what she thought, but she had to think about that to some degree, I would think. How she's going to talk, sit down old Joseph down around the coffee table as having a little coffee and checking out the computer and Facebook again. Of course, they weren't doing that, but how do you have that conversation with Joseph? And all that she went through that time in carrying this child, this long trip to Nazareth, all this taxation business, she had to go. And she's riding on that donkey, you know. She didn't have her Mercedes or her Lexus or her whatever to go in. And here she is on that old donkey. And they're going and miles and miles and miles. And then they get to the Holiday Inn Express. No, not even a Holiday Inn Express, but that old smelly stable. And she gives birth to the Son of the Living God, the Savior Himself. She pondered all these things in her heart. I wonder what she was thinking about. Well, the heavenly host was praising God for what had happened, and Mary had to be tired and exhausted. I've never had a baby, much less rode a donkey that far. I've never had that kind of rumors told on me. I might have had some, but it wasn't that kind. I don't know how all that would be, but she pondered it up. And it had filled her mind for, I would think, 9 months. Wonder about it, the amazement and what she was thinking. Well, the shepherds, they spread this message in their way in that day and time. They were telling everybody. They were praising God. And they were sharing what they had learned. That's a good thing for us today. To praise God and to share what we've learned. To tell everybody we come in contact about this Jesus because He's the subject. So they were. You say, what a story. And I know, and I say to you this morning, I know you realize this. I know you hear the story. I know it's not a new story. And preachers say, hey, the hardest time for me to preach is Christmas. Because, I mean, what do you do with this story? It's the same one. Yes, it's the same one. that it's a great story. It's the best story that's ever been told. Don't let it just kind of brush you by and say, yeah, we had a musical, you know, and it was good. We had here, we've read the story, so I don't have to come next Sunday on Christmas Day. Come on, I'm not going to read the same story. I might reference it, but I won't. Well, if I read it, I'll just read it. Whatever, just come on back. The story will be just as good next week as it is today. The miraculous taxation here. The place that Jesus was born has significance, how he reached out to all kinds of people. The angels coming and talking to shepherds, the lowest of the low. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Which is Christ the Lord. The Savior was born. So read the story. Ponder the story. Just like Mary did. And don't just brush it off and go on. Oh, I know that story. You do. I know that. But get along with the Lord some. And praise Him. And thank Him. Because the Savior has been born. How is it with you and this Savior? How is it with you and this Jesus, the Savior of the world? Good? I pray that it is. If it's not, the altars are open today. You can come and praise Him right here in front of the piano, and I won't bother you. You can come and praise Him. You can come and confess your sin to Him. You and the Lord can take care of business today right here, and you don't have to talk to me. We have a great high priest. His name is Jesus Christ the Lord. You don't need me to intercede for you. I'll be glad to pray with you right over here. I'll be glad to help you any way I can, but you can go directly to the Savior of the world. You can go directly to Jesus and tell Him what you need to tell Him today. Ask Him what you need to ask Him today. So as we come, as we stand together here this morning, I would just ask you, how is it with you and the Lord? And you say, well, it's good. Man, I'm having a good Christmas. Everything's wonderful. Praise the Lord. We went and celebrated Janae's 19th birthday last night, and I thought to myself, how is it possible? The baby's 19. You've been there and you've done that, a lot of you. And we have a great time and go to Jen's house and we have the dessert thing, the cake, all that kind of hoorah. And it was good. And in just an hour or so, I get reports that this accidental shooting had taken place. And I'm sitting there getting ready to go to bed and I think, I'm celebrating my youngest child's birthday and how blessed and how good it is. And just a little bit of time, you hear of an accidental shooting and somebody else losing their child. Now, preacher, why are you telling me all that? I'm telling you that life changes very quickly. In a moment, in a snap of your finger, things can change. So listen, there is a real Messiah. There is a real Savior. There is a real salvation. It is found in a real person named Jesus Christ the Lord. So no matter where you're at today, you've been in church all your life, but you're as lost can be. I've went through the motions all my life and I've done this, but I don't have an intimate relationship that's real with Jesus. Today's the day. I know I'm saved, but I know I need the empowering of the Holy Spirit to live. This Christmas, I really want to focus on Jesus. I don't know where you're at and what you're dealing with, but I know Jesus, and I know He loves you. And I know we must be ready to meet Him because He's coming again. This first Advent, this when He's coming, all the things we've celebrated, leading up, lighting the candles. Yes, we get ready for His birth, but my friend, the next time He comes, He's coming as a judge. And we must be born again and living for Him because we don't know when it'll be our turn to go. We don't know when the end of time will come. So don't play with your life. Be open, be real with Jesus Christ the Lord, because He came for us, He died for us, and He loves us. And whatever's going on in your life today, I point you to Jesus, because He is the one who can answer all of life's questions. Father in heaven, you have given us such a great gift, and our Lord and our Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I see you in my mind's eye is that babe in a manger. But yet, Lord, I just can't stay there very long without my mind going to the cross where you died for my sin and how you were raised for my victory and a home in heaven. So, Lord, today, I just pray, if all is well with us, may we be attentive to those people we've been praying for, and may we pray for them in our pew or around the altar today, people who need the Lord. Or may we think of Tim Robinson and come pray for him. Whatever you move us to do, may we have the faith and obedience to obey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.